Hey, Ronnie, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very happy to be speaking with you. Congratulations on the Emmy nomination.
Thank you.
Very well deserved with this one. I love the main title design. I love that with Palm Royale.
Good.
With the very first episode that I saw, it jumped out right away. And then as I started watching the series, then I could see the significance of everything that you had incorporated into that title design.
Definitely. Everything has a meaning.
It sure does. I mean, you've got a plane, and of course, Lucas's character is a pilot. You've got the tiara, which is huge. Everybody wants Norma's tiara. And a syringe, and we've got water and the buoy, and I love, right from the get-go, the diamond necklace with the hexagonal gem shapes
Yeah, really.
and how that carries through the entire title sequence in some form or another.
Definitely, yeah, that was a good, initially I had this idea of starting with the hand and this idea of jewelry and the jewelry snapping. And I don't want to give too many clues away from the actual show, but just that idea of snapping and this kind of starting with a little bit of a burst. And then, there's a little sense of chaos throughout that is the, like, that's the angle that we kind of developed throughout the whole story, this kind of whirlwind of ideas that Maxine is navigating through. And, along the way, there are all these Easter eggs and things that you might not know from the first episode, but by the last episode, you realize that these are all the things that are part of her universe and things she experiences or things that happen.
It's just beautiful the way you have constructed it and how you transition from frame to frame. There's always a connective thread there, such as a syringe, as the syringe goes from one frame to the next frame, or the rolling hexagon diamonds or gems. It's just so inventive, Ronnie. And joining that, though, is the graphic design itself. I'm seeing a lot of this is very Saul Bass and in some respects Milton Glaser also. A beautiful look to everything that's crisp, it's sharp. A lot of sharp edges happening here within the graphics. But your use of color also as you take us through color from black and white with a pop of red, and you move into greens, which metaphorically speak to envy, and then gold because everybody is out for Norma's gold and riches, and then the pinks, the aquas of Palm Beach. Talk to me about how you developed this exquisite title.
If you just look at the costuming and the set design, it has this amazing color palette. And, I definitely wanted to really use that in the title sequence. We reduced it down a little bit just to make sure it kind of had a very reductive palette to it. But the pinks and the greens were so vivid. That I thought it was a good separator from many other shows out there. So we really played up the vibrancy. And then, we kind of used all of these, you spoke about Milton Glaser. Milton Glaser was a big reference that, kind of in my life, I felt like he was a big influence on my work. In fact, Saul Bass really is the father of graphic title sequences, but I feel like Milton Glaser was more of an influence in this title sequence, at least from my perspective, just because the way he reduced an image down, I thought was super smart. And the way he kind of combined illustration in graphic reduction, where Saul Bass was really kind of reductive but Milton Glaser offered an illustrative quality that I thought was a nice addition to this. You could see that in the poodle, just the way the hair is. It's kind of inspired from that Bob Dylan album cover. It has that same vibe to it. And, you know, just the 60s-ness of it, I thought lent itself towards this style as well. What's the kind of takeaway immediately from one of the frames is the era. So, you know, I wanted to make sure that it felt like it was of the time and not a reflection of the time, if that makes sense.
Oh, makes perfect sense.
Make it feel like you were in there in that moment. And so if you notice, there's no patina, there's no yellowing. It feels like what you would see if you were in the 60s at full fidelity. So we really tried to make it feel as though you're within that time period. And even if you look at the animation techniques, you know, we reduced the animation techniques to the tool set that you would have in the 60s, whether it's using optical effects or having to write on film in order to produce it. So we tried to stay true to the technology of the era in order to make it feel authentic.
It definitely looks period perfect. It feels like it's 1969 the minute those credits start to crawl at the beginning. And that was very impressive to me because it puts you in that mindset immediately. We're not waiting for anything to tell us where we are. You're starting to feel it already. And as I said, as we go through all 10 episodes, each time you watch the opening title, you're going to recognize more and more pieces of Maxine's puzzle at Palm Royale.
And I'll just say that I always feel like 90% of a title lives and dies based on the score. And this score is so well done for this title sequence. More so than many, I think, because what it does is it takes you places.
Mm-hmm.
The music doesn't stay in one place. It evolves, it builds, it crescendos. And there's a journey in the music. And that's one of the reasons why it keeps people interested in the title, is you kind of feel like the title is going places. And so working with the composer, I felt like we came up with a really nice journey that allows us to become more chaotic, but then you kind of are a little more reflective in the middle moments, and then it goes a little more to this kind of building turmoil towards the end. But you kind of have a sense that you're working within a story that is going through this hero's journey. And so I find that it's often not present in title sequences, but I feel like in this one in particular, we were able to establish that just through the music.
Oh, I completely agree with you. Jeff did such an incredible job with the score for the entire series, and starting with the title. Now, I'm curious, from your design perspective, how early do you get the score, or do you do the graphic, the design first, and then score gets applied? Because it is very much a marriage between what we're seeing and what we're hearing musically. So I'm curious about that, and that could also impact your framing and how many frames each name has on screen.
Definitely. So initially when I did the design, I had Ema Sumac in the back of my mind, because we talked a little about music on the pitch, and someone brought up that name and her kind of vibe in terms of this like vibrant event, kind of Latin inspired music. And so I kind of initially pitched it with that Ema Sumac vibrancy behind it, thinking that it was going to be kinetic and fast and, you know, have a little bit of like dance moves within it, and feel very, you know, different. I always hesitate to use the word different because everyone says their stuff is different, but I feel like being fun and poppy and it is falling into the different category given how dark a lot of shows are these days.
Yes.
And I do think it kind of stands out through its vibrancy to its credit. So I just wanted to make sure that the title also felt like it was embracing that characteristic, which was a good separator in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the type, I think you mentioned something about just the type aspect. You know, there was, initially when we pitched the idea, we pitched something with smaller type,
mm-hmm.
and we allowed the graphic story to be more present. And he liked it, but he said, you know, I don't know. And then we showed him the second idea, where the type was the main character, and the graphics kind of moved around the typography, but it felt like the hero element was the credits.
Mm-hmm.
And he immediately said, wow, that's it. That's the answer. And, you know, I agreed. The idea of using this incredible cast of talent that, you know, you have just amazing names to say, like, why not let that really be present and live and have a moment?
Mm-hmm.
And so we really honored this incredible cast in a way that I thought really hasn't been seen in title sequences in a long time.
No, and everything is held. Your frames are held long enough that we as the audience, it's not racing through and we're scrambling trying to read the titles. I'm one of those people, I like to read the main opening titles and then every last one of the end titles and the crawl. But I love that everything held long enough that we could actually read the names. It wasn't a race to get through them. And the size is gorgeous. The size is beautiful.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, you know, I don't know if large type is often not used, well, because of its, it's so cumbersome or it could be potentially look a little horsey in terms of the design. But we really considered the scale as part of the design story. So it didn't feel like we were enlarging it for the sole purpose of making it large, but it was for the purpose of really using the type as a character. And so I felt there was a purpose to the construct of the idea. And it just was so different from often what we see.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and it's clean and crisp looking, too. Set with the edges that you have within the animation aspect. It's very clean.
Yeah.
It's very crisp. And I love the fact that the letters are big enough. The topography is large enough so that it really metaphorically speaks to all of these characters, primarily these women that are larger than life. To these creators,
exactly.
Who are larger than life with this larger than life idea of Palm Royale.
Definitely. That's a great way to phrase it because everyone in the show is larger than life.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was one moment where we had the syringe landing in the martini glass. And originally we had Carol Burnett's name there and I wanted the syringe to skewer Carol Burnett's name. And the syringe would land in the T and be the T, one of the T's in Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that shot, and it was so cool. Because, like, I was like, oh, Carol Burnett's going to love it. You know, she's going to love getting skewered. I feel like she has such an amazing sense of humor. Like, and we almost made it to the edge. But legally, because of the deconstruction, every name has to be accurate. And we couldn't do it because, you know, it was, it, even though it was implying the name with a syringe or implying the letter T, it wasn't, it didn't have parity with the rest of the titles. So we had to eliminate that one shot where, you know, I was a little disappointed, but it all came out nice in the end. But I always wanted to see her reaction to her name getting cured.
That would have been fantastic. And as you're telling me about this idea of the syringe as the T in Burnett, and then segueing into the next segment of the graphics, all I kept thinking of is Castle, the TV show Castle, which is what they did with the title on the opening titles, the title of the show, just Castle, and it would be a pen that would come down. And if it was a holidays, they would turn it into a candy cane pen, and they kept replacing the T and skewering it. But of course, that was a fictional name, not a person's name. So maybe that's how they got away with it. But that would have been very cool if you had gotten to do that. And I bet Carol Burnett would have loved it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she probably would have liked it. But, you know, there was a lot of... when you have a cast that has a lot of incredible talent, you know, you have to make sure you give everyone equal footing, equal placement, equal time. And, you know, everyone... when you're doing a title sequence, you could deconstruct it, you could blow it apart, but the visible time of each credit has to be exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to make sure that we, when we were coming up with all these animations, that we made sure that each person was up for the exact same amount of frames, and that all the transitions in and out were, if it was 15 frames of breakup on one, it had to be 15 frames of breakup on the other. So it looks like we could do a lot in terms of how things move, but there are restrictions in the title sequence as to how much you could do stuff based on everyone having to have equal presence,
mm-hmm.
which most people might not realize.
Are those marching orders that you were given at the beginning of your creative process as to how much time, how many frames?
There is a designated number of frames that they have to be up for. You know, as long as everyone is equal and we meet a minimum, that generally is the rule of whatever that minimum is for being up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's regulations or rules on scale in relation to the title card. So we couldn't go any larger on the type because of how things would fit in frame and then how it would relate to the title card at the end. So... you know, the regulations don't necessarily get in the way of the design because we were able to get the type up to a large size. But there are a lot of considerations just to make sure that you're kind of staying with the guidelines. But there's nothing specific about this title versus other title sequences. We all have these kind of restrictions that are in all titles.
Mm-hmm. I love the titles on Palm Royale. I will admit that when I'm binging a show, after I've seen the title for the first or second episode, then I'll skip past the title for the subsequent episodes. I did not. I have now watched this series 3 full times, and every time with all 10 episodes, I watch the titles because I just think they're so cool.
Yeah, well, that makes me feel good. You know, the skip button kind of changes that landscape a little bit in terms of how people want to watch television. And it's nice to know that people still would want to kind of watch it for every episode.
It adds something that sets the tone for what's coming. No matter which episode, that title sequence, it sets the tone for what's coming and puts you in that upbeat mood, ready for anything that Maxine is going to throw at us.
Cool. You know, we definitely added a little bit of, you know, obviously there's quirkiness to the animation, but we added little details to the animation that really make it feel like something you want to examine.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's subtle, but there are tiny animation moments in there that kind of draw you in. And I think it's partially because it's so reductive that you really focus on whatever's animated at that moment and the kind of detail of that animated moment. You know, a lot of titles often are dense with ideas and noise and render stuff. And we really, since we extracted and we've reduced here, I feel like it brings people in a far different way than many titles do. It's hard for me to pin down, but I feel like it almost activates a little part of your brain in a different way than something that feels cluttered.
Yes. Like, it's very clean and crisp. Very clean.
Yeah.
And I really like that, and it suits this series so well. Of course, I've got one last question for you, Ronnie, and I'd be remiss not to ask this one. The final frames in the title of the fingers moving like up and down the scales of a piano or up and down stairs. Stunning. What led you to that? Because that is just so fun.
The original frame was, first of all, I love the idea of fingernails because she worked in one of the characters works in a salon.
Right.
Painting nails. And the idea of, originally, I thought they were like teeth, or like hammers on a piano and teeth, and they would have an action of it almost being a little menacing, like just coming down really hard and feeling like, you know, there's tension created there. So, you know, I started with this idea of the salon referencing that moment and the kind of motivation of them being teeth or piercing or something that, you know, kind of this rolling, impending barrage of things hitting the surface. And so it does kind of, it's abstract, but it alludes to this, like, impending drama that's happening and just the anvil that's, you know, falling. In a way.
I mean, it is so cool, and it's a great way to cap off those titles. Ronnie, I just love, love, love the main titles for Palm Royale. I can honestly say that they are my favorite titles out of all the shows I've seen over this past Emmy season. Fingers crossed for you come Emmy Day. Congratulations again. Just job so well done.
Oh, thank you. Really nice of you.
Do you know yet, will the titles stay the same for season two, or will you be brought in to come up with something different for season two?
I have a feeling that they're going to want to, you know, change out some of the ideas in there for the new season. We haven't thought about it yet, but, you know, the showrunner is so into really having the ideas be part of the experience of watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we could do the same type of storytelling in the next season, I feel like he's going to want to do that.
And you're primed and ready for it.
Oh, I'm ready for anything.
Ronnie, thank you so much taking time to talk with me today about Palm Royale. Hopefully we'll get to chat again in the future sometime.
Definitely. All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Ronnie.